This is our second Sunday, O Lord's Day of 2022. And I want to finish up on this topic, a crucial topic for all human beings, on the topic of idolatry. Okay? And the title for today is, How Sick Is Your Heart? And that's not a question. That's a statement. We just read it from Ezekiel 16, which happens to be one of the forbidden chapters in the synagogues. It's kind of interesting. Ancient rabbis, they would not read Isaiah 53 because it shows too much of Christ, right? And another chapter is Ezekiel 16, which I ask you to read today when you get home, because it is forbidden because it is so graphic, pornographic. Did you hear the word whoring? How many times it shows up? What is God describing? Idolatry of Israelites or his people. It's pretty amazing. We've been talking about idolatry is in your DNA. There's no exception. That's why we seek after some sort of satisfaction in our hearts that really no one can satisfy. You get thirsty, right? You go after your idols, whether it is success or just autonomy, whether it is your graduate school, whether it is through your building up your muscles and bodies. I don't know. People just get crazy with their idols. But today, we want to kind of just finish up on this topic of idolatry. And more I think about this topic, man, without dealing with this topic, I don't even know what Christian faith is. Okay? So Martin Luther said, what is an idol? He said, whatever your heart clings to and you could never live without. Whatever your heart it clings to you, and you just cannot live without it. Tim Keller, who wrote a great book on this topic, Counterfeit God, excellent book. I've been reading it this week. Okay, and he said this way, an idol is, say you lose this today, and tomorrow morning when you get up, you will have no will to live. That's your idol. That's your God. Okay, you lose something today, and you will have no reason to live tomorrow. That's your idol. That's how powerful it is. And it applies to every single one of you, whether you are, you know, a church people or unchurched people. It really is. It doesn't matter what your, ethnicity is, your gender is. It's just the human heart. That's just the way it is. The reason being, God made you that way. That only He could really satisfy your heart, eternal love. But you cannot find it. So, what is idolatry? What constitutes a God? And I think Christianity, as you know, is about loving God. Can you love God partially? That sounds kind of ridiculous. When you're married and you love your husband partially, what does that mean? How do you love someone partially, right? There are relationships that demands an exclusive devotion. That's marriage. You know, you can't really say, my wife is really faithful to me 95% of the time, and 5% of the time, I let her do whatever she wants. Can you do that? That would be ridiculous, right? It takes a exclusive love and devotion. So, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And Jesus came along, who is the Lord, he who is the Lord. He came, and basically someone asked him, what is the greatest And the first and greatest commandment, what is the most important thing? Jesus said, exactly quoting the same, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Can I ask you, is that your Christianity? If not, what is it then? Right? In Exodus chapter 34, there is an interesting story of, worshiping of golden calf. And because of the time's sake, I'm not going to explain. Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, and the people went just crazy, right? They just experienced the greatest power and the miracle of God, destroying the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at the time, right? Just kind of like destroying them. And they came out of the slavery into mountain, in the Sinai desert. And while Moses is making a covenant and getting the commandment, what did people do? They went crazy. They worship golden calf, idolatry. It's a graphic picture. And Lord was really, really angry. And rightly so. Why was he so angry? Okay? And it is explained in next chapter, chapter 34, when God finally subsided his wrath and tried to renew his relationship with the people. And this is what he said. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they whore after their gods, sacrifice to their gods, and you are involved and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take their daughters for your sins, and their daughters whore after their gods, and make your sons whore after their idols. Do you hear it? It's very uncomfortable, right, to our mouth and mind, isn't it? You whore after gods. He used it three times. When they whore after their gods, when the daughters of the Canaanites whore after their gods, and you marry them, and they're going to whore after their gods. In other words, God sees idolatry as his people whoring. That's graphic, isn't it? That's graphic. Two things I want to mention. He said his name is Jealous. And I don't want you to think about, one of those cheap, like daytime TV drama, kind of jealous. This is God's holy, righteous jealous. Flows from his perfect love toward his people. Can you reason with me? I have my wife, and let's just say she would just kind of like once in a while look after this handsome-looking guy, well-built guy, and then kind of flirts in front of me. Should I be happy or not happy? Of course not. Should I be jealous? Of course. What is that about? It's about my love, my relationship. How much more? God's love for his people is perfect and holy. And his name is Jealous. So that is a functional necessity, the quality or attribute that's necessity of his holy love, right? And he will not tolerate idolatry, you whoring after other gods. The second word is the word actually whore, which, if you read Ezekiel chapter 16, we did that with a Korean elderlies last night. Oh, it was just too graphic. But it took 1 hour. And we read through the entire chapter of chapter 16. Can you imagine? I ask, anybody have any questions? No? What question is there? There were about 14 people. I says, is there anybody have any questions or any comments? No, no comments, no question. So graphic, but that's how God sees you going after idols. Okay? The word whore is zanu, to act unfaithfully and acting like a prostitute. And that word is used when Israel going after other superpowers like Egypt, Babylon. What are they doing? They are seeking their protection and provision from other kings rather than God himself. And God calls that prostitution, whoring. Okay? So, Lord God uses this depiction of prostitution or whore after to describe idolatry. That's how God sees it. This is God's word, people. This is not my description, but this is God's description. And the reason or the theological ground for his anger and judgment of toward idolatry of his people is his jealous nature. God is jealous because he loves you. Does that make any sense? Right? It flows from his pure, holy love. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2 says, the Lord is a jealous God and he avenges. Remember that. Remember that. I want to explain two models of idolatry in the Bible. If you understand this, it's going to help you when you read the Bible, especially the prophets and the Old Testament. You know, we kind of tend to shy away from Old Testament because it is difficult to understand. But things like this will help you. There are two models that is dominant and kind of like prevalent in the Old Testament that describes idolatry. Two models. You know, Bible uses a number of human description or metaphors to describe how God relates to his people. Sometimes like a shepherd. God is the shepherd and we are his sheep. God is the king and we are his people or subject. God is the father and we are his sons and daughters. God is the judge and we are their subjects of being judged. So there is that, you know, human anthropomorphic descriptions. So that's how God relates. But I want to describe these two ways God describes idolatry. One is marriage model. The other one is political model. It's not difficult. Number one, marriage model is basically God is the husband and his people is the wife. Does that make sense? Right? So we saw that in Exodus chapter 34. And when Israelites commit adultery, God describes that as whore after other gods. Marital model. Okay? In the prophets, especially Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, it's prevalent. The idea is that Israel is married and married to God, but unfaithful and whoring after other gods. It's all of the scripture, people. It's all of the scripture. From Exodus all the way to Malachi, beginning to the end. That's the story of human being. Okay? In Hosea, idolatry is depicted as a prostitution, and Ezekiel as what we just read, nymphomania, or someone who's crazy about sex. It's not even for the money. Okay? We read that. We'll look at it in a little bit. Second model of idolatry in the Old Testament is the political model. God model. God is the king, and we are his people. And the common thing about these two models is this. In marital relationship, God as a husband demands exclusive love and devotion. Does that make sense? I already explained to you. You're married to someone, of course you want 100% exclusive devotion and love. Do you just take, you know, wife, you could just be faithful to me 90%. And 10%, you're on your own. You do that? You could never do that. It's an exclusive relationship, right? Of love and devotion. In political model, as a king, king demands, you know, as he provides and protects, he demands a exclusive loyalty and obedience. Say you're a U.S. citizen, and you commit, you show your loyalty to U.S. government, 90%, no, let's say 80%, 10% to Russia, 10% to China. Can you do that? You're committing a treason if you do that. You could never do that. So the common thing is that exclusiveness. That's God's exclusive right as husband, as king, your devotion and love. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you are committing an adultery or a treason. Right? In the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, you know, people used to worship these false gods, and their way of worshiping was prostitution with temple prostitutes. That's just the way human beings were. They actually have orgies, and that was their worship. Can you even imagine that? It's all over the Old Testament. That's a human history. Okay? In Samuel chapter 8, really describes this political model of idolatry really, really well. And I shared this on Thursday when we were praying. Israelites asked for a king. You know, Israel was a nation, and basically the elders of the nation came. You know, just like Samuel to the prophet, just like the rest of the nations, give us a king. And Samuel wasn't happy about that because Samuel knew their heart. Basically, what they were asking is, just like all these nations have a king to trust and obey and submit, give us a king when God was their king. So this is what God said to Samuel, okay? Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they do, for they are not rejecting you, but they are rejecting me. Okay. And from being king over them, according to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day. In other words, from the beginning to the end, they were idolatrous. That's you. That's me. That's a story of human being. Do you understand that? Likewise, prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel denounce Israel's treaties with Assyria, superpower, Egypt as idolatry, political model. And in Isaiah 31, the reliance upon Egypt is regarded as a form of a deification because where God belongs, they put Egypt, the Pharaoh or the emperor. Okay? Seeking protection, seeking provision in the place of God. But this two model comes together in the book of Ezekiel, which we read today, which is very, very graphic. I'm not going to read it again. This two models comes together and this one statement. You engage in prostitution with the Egyptians. One is marital model, the other one is the political model. You engage in prostitution with Egyptians, you lustful neighbors, and provoke me to anger with your increasing promiscuity. So the reliance to the foreign gods and foreign power for protection is seen as prostitution. That's how God sees you. Can you imagine you marry and your wife is committing a prostitution? Nymphomania. This is the word of the Lord, people. Considering these two models, I already kind of alluded to it, but I think idolatry has a common theme. What we see is in this marriage model, we see the notion of exclusivity. As a husband, I need to be faithful and love to my wife 100%, right? Right? And as a citizen of this nation, I need to be faithful to the U.S. government, not 5% to Russian government, not 5% to Chinese government, not 5% to, Cuban government. I don't know. You can't do that. So the theme is, this is exclusive, the exclusivity. In other words, to trust and obey and love and devote is the exclusive right of our God if you are his people. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you're committing a prostitution or committing a treason. So idolatry violates and attacks this God's exclusive rights to our love and trust and obey. Very, very important. What about those people who are halfway to the Lord and halfway to the world? We already talked about this. The other half that you do not commit it to the Lord is full of idols. And it's a template for idolatry. Okay? In light of this approach and understanding of idolatry, which violates the exclusive right of God to love and devote and trust and obey, I want us to think about two manifestations of idolatry in your life. Okay? See if it's true for you. Number one is greedy. Are you greedy? I don't think so. Wait, are you sure? Number two is sexual immorality. We already mentioned about this. Next week, I'm going to finish up the teaching on human sexuality, and we want to talk about sexual immorality. If you read the Bible, idolatry and sexual immorality always go next to each other. Could that be a coincidence? It's absolutely not a coincidence, people. And then greed follows. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. Greed, or covetousness, it says in Colossians chapter 3, greed is idolatry. How is that? How is that an idolatry? Jesus explains it. Now, listen to this in idolatrous fashion. In chapter 6, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, two kings, political model. You cannot serve, you cannot be faithful to two kings, two nations, two curios. For you either hate the one and you love and devoted to the other. If you are devoted to United States, you cannot be giving love to other nations. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. No one can serve two kings, for he will hate one and love the other, and he will be devoted to the one. If you are devoted to U.S. government as a U.S. citizen, you will despise the other. This is what Jesus is teaching. And then he goes, you cannot serve two kings, God and money. Is that clear? I don't think this is unclear, people. I don't think this is unclear, especially as we talk about this topic in the beginning of the year. If you are living for idols, your heart is always anxious. You just don't have peace. You can't. You feel always bound. And I tell you something, idols will eventually fail and will break your heart. Absolutely will. Okay, idols, anything that was created other than the true God will eventually fail and it will break your heart. So this is a political model, kingship, lordship, that you're supposed to love and devote, and you love one and you hate the other. Does that make sense? If you love the world, some people say, I love the world and money. That means you're hating and despising God. That's exactly what's happening in your heart. So love and devotion to the money or greed is to violate and attack on kingship and lordship of Jesus. Can I give you just a few verses that scripture repeatedly say about these? Psalm 52, verse 7 says, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Did you catch that? You're heading for destruction. Right? Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. New Testament verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, but those who desire to be rich, anybody want to be rich? Listen carefully, okay? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You know what idols do? It makes you do the things you normally would not do because it is driving you. You know it is wrong, but you're going to do it anyway because you want that idol. You're going to just continue to do it. You know it is wrong, but you're just going to keep going forward because that's your idol. That's how powerful it is because you're a slave to it. Are you listening, people? Let's talk about sexual immorality, okay? And I know we're living in a very sexually People say it's all relevant. Well, let's talk about sexual immorality. I think Romans chapter 1 describes the human condition and the depravity of men really, really well. And Paul writes, because of all these unrighteousness, wrath of God is coming. Judgment of God is coming. Okay? And what was the main cause of that unrighteousness? Idolatry. Starts from verse 23. It reads like this. Although they knew God, they exchanged the glory of God, immortal God, for the images and resembling mortal men, birds, animals, and creepy things. In other words, because of this idolatry, God responds with this judgment. Verse 24, 26, 28, that famous description of God just kind of give up on them. Can you picture with me? Let's say we have a baby, just have a young infant. If I don't care for the baby and just kind of leave it alone, what's going to happen to the baby? That would be disastrous, wouldn't it? Can you imagine what happens when God gives you up? I'm going to let you live whatever you want to live. Here's the picture. Okay? Verse 24, God gave them over because of this idolatry. Verse 24 says, therefore God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity. So what happens first when God gives people up is sexual immorality. Okay? Into the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why? Because verse 25 says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Idolatry. Idolatry will follow with sexual immorality. Okay? Verse 26, the second God gave them over. What happens if it gets even worse? It's amazing. Just try to listen to this and try to see if you could identify what's happening here. Okay? Verse 26 says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. What is the dishonorable passion? For their woman exchange, their natural relationship for those that are contrary to the nature. Are you listening? Verse 27 continues. And men likewise gave up their natural relationship with women, were consumed with passion for one another. Men seeking to have relationship with men. Men committing shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves due penalty for their error. So what happens when God gave them over? Sexual immorality leading to homosexuality. Okay, scripture. Where do all these stem from? Idolatry. Lusting after other gods. Our human heart. How sick is your heart? The third, what happens afterwards then? Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. When things get worse, what happens? You know what happens? Your mind gets like hit the rock bottom. Your mind become garbage. Do you follow? This is the word of God, people. You continue to rebel against God and seeking after other idols. Your mind will become debased. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, greed, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, and they gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. What is this list? Idolatry is the root of all sin. That's what it means. And Paul summarizes the condition of human heart like this. the impossibility of human being like this. Verse 32. It's an amazing verse. This is the summary. Though they knew God and his righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Did you catch that? They already know this is wrong. They know this is wrong. They know if you continue to do this, you're gonna be punished. But not only you do it, and you say that is right to other people. So wrong becomes right, and right becomes wrong. That's what happens. That's the outcome of idolatry, people. They know God's decree, and they know they deserve to die. You know you're going to die. You know you're going to stand before the judgment of God. But you continue to do it, and you tell your children to do it. You tell other people to do it. That's what idols do. Because you want to get it, you do things that you know your heart is saying not to do. And not only you do that, you tell other people, that's the right thing to do. Go ahead and keep doing it. What's going to happen? What should happen to these people? There is no hope for these people. That's all human being. Can I just ask you, are you idolatrous? We already talked about this. Unless, Lord, set your heart free, you are idolatrous. You seek after some sort of like comfort. And if I pour my life onto my child and let him become what I want him to be, let him become a doctor. And, you know, everything will be all right then. And my life will be totally worth it. Because he became a doctor. I'm so worth it. And he's going to be my savior. Is that you? There's so many mothers like that. Or crazy fathers, right? They just devote their life making money. And before you know it, you get into it. You know, in the Old Testament, people actually sacrificed their children. They killed and burned their children. And you will say, wow. That was so mean. But that's exactly what people do, fathers do these days. They let the children live on their own and ruining their lives and live as a workaholic. Child sacrifice. Is that you? Or money, or success, or just pleasure, or just relationship. Bible is saying, human beings are hopeless. Hopeless people. You may be thinking, wow, that's the summary of topic of idolatry. Well, of course that's not the summary. That's the human condition. Until you come here, you will not see Christ. You don't need a savior. That's why you need a savior. That's why that God came to us and spoken to us. And his name is Jesus. Historically and factually, he came and he has spoken to his people. And this is what he said. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water, you'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him, you will never thirst. That's the gospel, people. Because your heart is idolatrous. You're always going to be thirsty. You're always afraid of the future. You know intuitively there is more to life than this world. And you know deep inside you are made for eternity. So when you die, you're going to stand before the Creator. And there's going to be a judgment. And you will be accountable for your life. So you feel guilty. You feel fearful. So you seek after all these idols just to numb your heart, just to satisfy your heart. That's a human condition, people. But Jesus came, said, You drink this water, you'll be thirsty again. You're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. All idols that you put your hope and your happiness and future will fail, and it's not going to bring salvation to you. It's going to break your heart. It's going to break your heart, people. If you put your hope on your child, it's going to break your heart. If you place your hope on your husband, he's going to break your heart. One day, one of you, you know, I heard Tim Keller sharing this in his book, Counterfeit God, excellent book. You know, one day, Tim or his wife is Kathy. One of us will be in the coffin, and another of us will be standing and looking at the coffin. It's not going to save you. It's going to fail. Your health will fail. Your wealth will fail. Everything will fail. And it's going to break your heart if you put your hope and future in the idols. Your children will not save you. Will not, people. Your husband will not save you. Money will not save you. It's going to break your heart. Can I share the gospel now? That's the human condition. But here's the good news. There is a way for you to live and live forever. That's when you turn your hearts to true God. Okay? That's the good news, people. That's the ultimate message. There is only one way you're going to live, and you're going to live forever. When you truly turn your hearts to true God, not those false counterfeit gods. Okay. Can I just ask you, will you be willing to place all your idols at the feet of Jesus? If not, you're going to die in your sin. That's what's going to happen to you. You're on your own, basically. Will you be willing to submit everything at the feet of Jesus, the true God who has manifested himself on Calvary and who has died for you? Will you do that? Otherwise, you're going to live an idolatrous life. You're born in sin, you're under sin, and you're going to die in your sin. And you will stand before God. Okay? Will you cast out all your idols and bring it to the feet of Jesus? That's the ultimate message of the gospel, people. Bottom line is this. Will you bring all your idols at the feet of Jesus and surrender? Because he loves you and he gave himself for you. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Christianity, people. If you compromise that, if you live one foot in, one foot out, you are idolatrous. Anybody who is living 50% in, 50% out, they will always leave. Don't do that. We need to come to the human condition to share the good news. We really need to see the hopelessness. And we did that through Romans chapter 1 today. Right? Not only you know that is wrong, and you deserve to die, and you still do it because you are idolatrous. And you see other people approval. That's okay, you do it. That's how human hearts are so sick and wicked. Lord wants to bring life unto you, people, if you would just submit to him. Let's pray together.